but he's still here. He didn't leave while we had coffee. All right, you got the nice chair. I was in a church in England, and I was getting a little bit silly with some people in the back, just a little bit, and they were having worship, and you know, so I just made a little glory bomb, and I threw it up on the stage, and the bassist wasn't even looking, and he hit the back wall and slid down the wall. And the pastor says, "You've taken out me bass player." Well, I don't know if any of you noticed. I don't know how much you were following along the message in the last time, but I told you I had four things we agreed on, and I only told you two of them. Anybody remember? Do you want to hear the other two? Okay, come back tonight. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you right now. So, you know, in his presence is fullness of joy. And people ask all the time, you know, why are you laughing in church? Why are you so crabby in church? But yeah, sometimes when I get hit with his presence, I get hit with the joy of how much he loves me, and it comes out in joy. And so, you know, if we can agree that you're here right now, Jesus, you're in the midst of us, and you're happy. Ooh, ha! It says God poured out on him the oil of joy above all his brethren. He was happier than anybody. Yeah. You know, and I don't know if you ever saw movies about Jesus, and a lot of them he looks like not so happy. yep. Oh, Jesus, thank you that you are happy. Yeah, you fill us with joy. It says in Zephaniah, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He'll rejoice over you with joy. He rejoices over us with joy. And so I looked up those words for joy, and rejoicing over us, that word is, you know, laughing with merry-hearted glee. Don't you like merry-hearted glee? When was the last time you used that in a sentence? Okay, this week you're going to use merry-hearted glee in a sentence, okay? It says, you know, he laughs over us with merry-hearted glee and with exceeding great joy and laughter. So there's two different words. So he rejoices over us with joy, with exceeding great joy and laughter. And then it says he quiets you with his love. And it just means, you know, sometimes he's just exuberant in his joy with you. And then sometimes he just takes you in to the palm of his hand as he just starts forming and conforming you to his plans. And sometimes it's a little scary, but he's working on you tenderly. And then after he accomplishes that, it says in the last one, he'll rejoice over you with joy. He'll quiet you with his love. He'll rejoice over you with shouts of joy. The third joy is a different word. It means to jump up and spin around in exuberant display of emotion. So after he looks at the beautiful things he's doing in you, he just jumps up and spins around and delights and shouts for joy at his accomplishment in you. He delights in us. You know, and the enemy is always telling us who we're not and how, you know, how much we don't measure up. And so we have to just stop listening to him. Yeah. And start listening to the words of the one. Whoops, I'm just messing with that. Of the one who loved us, yeah, he rejoices over us. So, you know, so those first two things, I'm still kind of stuck on them. I'm stuck on them every day. I you know, here we're in your city, and if you've ever been, how many have been to Redding, California? So if I talk about traffic in Redding, it makes you laugh, right? Sometimes I have to wait for 3 cars before I can get out on the road. It's a traffic delight. But from my house to Bethel Church, there are 12 traffic lights on Lake Boulevard. And it just is one of those roads where they are not synchronized. I mean, at all. You can hit every single red light. Or you can hit a red light and there's nobody coming any direction, but it's red. And so it's, you know, it's always a challenge. And sometimes, because when if it's all green, I can make it to church in 5 minutes. If it's all red, you know, 10 minutes or more. And so I don't leave my house very early because I don't have to. And so I'm thinking of all the things I have to do. I've got a meeting and there's, you know, I've got thoughts in my head and boom, I hit a red light. And I go, oh, you just wanted to stop and be with me. Thank you. My head was racing ahead of me. My thoughts were racing and, oh, you just wanted to stop. Or if it's a yellow light, which you're supposed to slow down, or in reality, really, we speed up so that we can make it through it. But I go, oh, you're just calling my attention to your presence. Oh, I'll readjust myself to you. You know, I just like to let him talk to me through everything, all the time. You know, just because he's here and he loves me. And so, you know, as we recognize his presence in us, as recognize his presence among us, it's an exercise for the rest of our lives. So the other two things, you know, because he's here, we ask, the third thing we ask our teams to agree with is it says in Psalm, what, 72:18, I think it is, it says, you are God who only does wonders. That's all he does. Everything he does is a miracle. And we want to enlarge our expectations to the fact that that's what he does. He only does miracles. Sometimes, you know, when we talk about, I don't know, have you ever talked about the supernatural and had some of your Christian friends think you were going over on the New Age side of things? The New Age didn't invent anything. Supernatural is who God is. The whole gospel is supernatural. I mean, really, right? You know, a woman born of a virgin, you know, by the Holy Spirit, how did that even work? And then, you know, him taking all the sins of the world on himself and giving us righteousness. Everything about the gospel is supernatural. And so we have to stop, you know, trying to normalize things and make it feel safe for people. It's extravagantly unsafe, which is wonderful. and yet we can bring people into the safety of kindness and love and, you know, generosity, but to think that God's going to appease all of my fears and, you know, he would never make me do something that I was afraid to do, you know. Wait and see. And so everything he does is a miracle. Everything he does, you know, supernatural isn't the things we do. We've been invited into a whole supernatural world, and everything is miraculous. And before man was created, God just did all the miracles himself. It says, you know, the word used in Genesis chapter 1 is Elohim, which is a plural word. It's the plural majesty of the Godhead. So here's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, they say, let us make man in our image. But it says, you know, let there be light. And God said, and it's this plural word. You know, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternal love triangle of heaven, start speaking. And how does it work? I don't know. The Father gets the idea. The Son is the word spoken. The Holy Spirit broods on the waters when hatches out a world. I don't know. I want to see the reruns in heaven of creation. I mean, would that be cool? Really? And so, before man was created, he just did it all. But once man was created, when he did miracles, he always used people. He used prophets. He used kings. He used, his chosen messengers to perform the miracles that he purposed to do. And then he got involved and did the way beyond them that they couldn't do, exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. And so, he's never had a greater group of people than us to work with. But we ask our teams just to agree with, hey, God only does miracles and he wants to use me. We just have to get over ourselves that we're so bad or so unanointed that he could never use us. I mean, he used a donkey to talk. He can use me. I'll be a donkey for you, Jesus. You can ride on me. You could speak through me. It's just who he is. We're learning to believe in him after his character, who he is, not after our own frailty and who we aren't. God defines who he is, and we can find the definition in his word. We can see all aspects of his character. We look in nature because all nature displays the glory of God. The invisible qualities of God are seen in what has been created, so that we begin to see attributes of God, ways that he is, his vastness, his character. A friend of mine and I were camping up in the mountains of Colorado one time, and a billion stars were out there, and we're lying there just worshiping God, and my friend goes, God, how come you made so many? And we're waiting, and we hear God say, because I can. It displays his immensity and his variety. Yeah, have you ever looked at how many varieties of flowers they are? Even if you don't see them, somewhere off in the forest. A fish, before you ever went snorkeling, all those amazing colored fish were still under the water there, waiting to be discovered. But he made them just because he's a God of creativity and variety and wonder, and he made us all different. And so everything he does is a wonder, and he wants to use us now to do those wonders. Now, when I say be healed to somebody, I know that I don't make them be healed, but I know he lives inside of me, and he's right there wrapping his arms around that person. And what I found is, how many of you have ever seen visions? You ever saw a vision? Anybody ever see a vision? You like visions? Yeah. You have them all figured out? You know just exactly how they work? Nope. Paul, he's talking about himself. He said, I know a man in Christ who, went to the third heaven, and in the body or out of the body, I don't know. Is it my imagination? Sometimes I'm physically there in the vision. Sometimes it seems like a dream or an imagination in my mind, but it doesn't matter. God's speaking to us through visions. He wants to show us things that go beyond our intellect, and he wants to take us on a journey because he wants to share with us because he loves us. And I have no idea where I was going with that, but there was something about visions. But I'm getting kind of a little bit wobbly up here. And it's okay because it's going to come like a wave and it's going to just start moving back. Oh dear. Oh dear. Cheeky Holy Spirit. Oh, whoa. Oh my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Jesus. Oh, whoa. I'd lean on this thing, but I Oh, you have permission to get blasted right now. Because I am. Jesus. There's no thoughts in my mind anymore. They're all gone. Yeah, he's here. Yeah, just drink of his presence. He loves you. He's here. He's here. Oh, you're here. Oh, you really love us. Oh, Jesus. You are so, so good. Whew. Yep, we recognize your presence. Yeah, we honor your presence. Yep. Yes. Oh. Whew. We honor your presence. You only do wonders, and you want to do them with us. You just like us. You want to do stuff with us. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Oh, you've elevated us to a place with you, to be with you. You, the creator, the Lord, the author, the designer, the imaginer of it all. You just imagined us right up there with you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Whew, what a great honor. Oh, God, thank you. Everything you do is a miracle. Miracles are your love language. You know, sometimes we think that we need to just beg or plead or milk a little miracle out of God. And in his vast generosity, that's all he's pouring out. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Oh! Oh! No, so one time I had a vision. That is all about visions. And what I saw is that everybody who needs healing, it's already there surrounding you. Sometimes I've seen it like a gift, a Christmas present right in your lap. One time I saw it as just a cylinder of light and energy and electricity surrounding. And really, we're not trying to generate and create healing. Our job is to help the people receive the healing Jesus already paid for. He bought it. It's an extravagant gift he paid for 2,000 years ago. And it's right here. Just say it's right here. Shoo. And it engulfs me and encapsulates me. And shoo. And it's a good thing she's in that chair, that comfy chair, because it's all over her like a great big down duvet, just wrapping you up. I'm sorry, what's your name? Ellen? Yep. You're the woman he loves to heal. Look out. Oh, Jesus. One time I met a young man who had been in a car wreck and he'd broken almost all his bones and was in a full body cast for a long time and was in intense pain. And when he got the body cast off, his bones were set, but all his joints were kind of frozen up, so everything hurt to move. And then, as it turned out, his spine started developing severe scoliosis, and it was bending down, and the doctor said that his ribs were starting to crush his organs, his heart and his lungs, and he could barely breathe. He was in great pain. And so the doctor said, well, this is what we'll do. We'll break all your ribs and reset it. As you can imagine, he was really excited about that. So I said, can I pray for you? He goes, yes. And so he's hunched over like this. He closes his eyes to receive prayer. But what I always tell our teams is, don't just jump in and pray. Step back and go, okay, God, what are you saying and what are you doing? Because I'm just wanting to know how I can help this person receive what Jesus has already paid for. And that's when I had the vision. Suddenly I saw him surrounded by this pulsing electric energy, light cylinder. I mean, it was beautiful. And I was kind of curious, and I reached in to touch it. I just wanted to see what this stuff feels like. It was awesome. I wanted to jump in, but, you know, the guy was in there. And so I'm starting to get a little bit funny, you know, as I'm doing this. And he's got his eyes closed. He has no idea. And then I had this thought. I thought, I wonder what would happen if I just reached through that and touched him on the spine. And so I did. I reached through and I touched his spine. And all of a sudden, pop, 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 pop. And the guy goes, I went, what just happened? His eyes were like this big. He said, my whole skeleton just restructured in 2 seconds. Whoa. He said, I can breathe. You know, he was standing completely straight. All pain left his body. I saw him the next day. He said he had the best night's sleep he'd had in 2 years. All pain was gone, and he was perfectly flexible. God did that in 2 seconds. You know, and that's when I realized, that was the first time I saw, oh, wait, healing is already there. It's already paid for. Yeah, Jesus bought it for us. It's part of the atonement. It's part of his promise. It's part of our inheritance. It's the children's bread. It's ours. And you know, the puzzlement, the mystery is how do we get it? Why hasn't it come yet? You know, all those questions are mystery. And I've seen like that present, that Christmas present of God's healing, this right in your lap. Just say, it's in my lap. It's right here. Go ahead. Sometimes it's wrapped up in this extravagant wrapping, silver and gold and sparkles. And how many of you have an auntie or somebody that wraps Christmas presents like you barely want to open them because the wrapping is the thing? And sometimes we think that with this gift. It's wrapped in, I call it mystery. This amazing wrapping is mystery, and it causes us to, you know, just to be taken aback. But the wrapping isn't the gift. And instead of delving into the mystery, oh, why isn't it happened? You know, why did this happen? Why aren't you healing? Why? All those whys, there's no answer to those questions. We have to just stop answering them because they're a rabbit hole that goes down forever into a black hole, and there is no answer to the questions of why. Instead of delving into the mystery of it, just rip open the mystery, because the gift is inside. I want the present, not the mystery. I don't understand, you know, why things happen sometimes, why they don't other times. I'm not going to make a doctrine. How many of you have ever prayed for someone and seen them get healed? Raise your hand. Anybody? Yep. How many of you have ever prayed for somebody and didn't see them get healed? Yeah. So based on that experience, I might say sometimes God heals and sometimes he doesn't. But that's not what the word says. He says, I am the God who heals you. It says everyone who came to Jesus was healed. It says they went into the surrounding region and brought everybody who was sick, diseased, demon-possessed, paralytic, and he healed them all. You know, that's who he is. That's the standard we have. And so we have to, as a church, stop bringing the standard of God down to the level of our experience and making excuses. Oh, it must not be your timing. You must have sin in your life. Oh, there must be unforgiveness in your life. Oh, you know, God doesn't always heal. And we make these doctrines based on what we've seen. But we don't build doctrine based on what we see. Our doctrine's based on the character of God, who he says he is. He says, I am the God who heals you. Yep. I bore your sicknesses, carried your infirmities. By my wounds, you're healed. And we've got to start, you know, realizing that we keep the standard of God's word where he says it is. And we keep going after healing and miracles and anything until we see our experience start rising up. And when it doesn't happen, when I pray for someone and they die, I've seen hundreds, thousands of people healed of cancer, and I've buried some close friends who died of cancer. People go, how do you reconcile that? I don't. I say, this is wrong, and that's God's plan. And I'm not saying they're wrong. I don't blame them. I don't blame myself. I just go, this is wrong. But I'm going to go after the next one and the next one and the next one. So nobody's life is cut short through cancer. Nobody else has to experience the injustice of that assault on the love of God for that person. It's a violation of God's love that the enemy puts disease on our loved ones. It's wrong. And so we have to, you know, take a stand, and we're going to stand with everybody who needs it. We don't tell people, you don't have enough faith, because they're the one who's sick. We're going to step in and believe for them. Now, Jesus praised people who had faith, but he healed people who didn't have any faith. The guy at the Pool of Bethesda was even complaining. He didn't have faith, and he complained. And Jesus goes, pick up your mat and walk. You know? I mean, he says, do you want to be healed? Oh, nobody can put me in the water. He goes, pick up your mat and walk. It's just who he is. He's a compulsive healer. He can't stop himself. It's his name. I am healing. And so we're always going to keep that standard of what God says about himself, and we're going to go after seeing everybody get healed. And when people don't get healed, I'm not going to, you know, take on discouragement over that. Because if I take on the discouragement and the burden of not getting somebody healed, does that mean I'm going to take on the glory and the praise when they do get healed? No, it's not me. It's not me. When somebody doesn't get healed, I'm going to say, that's wrong. I'm going to love these people. I'll grieve with the family. You know, but it's just wrong, and we're going to keep going after it till nobody is taken before their time, and certainly no child. We've seen people, you know, die before their time, and we've gone into heaven to, you know, call them back from the dead. And we've had people in heaven go, I'm not going back. It's too good here. So unbelievers always want to come back. Something about the other place. Oh, Jesus. Realign us to who you say you are and how you think. And you always and only do miracles, and you want to use us. Okay, that's the third agreement that we have. The fourth agreement is, we ask our teams, because of those three, that every time we gather together, we're going to see impossible things break out. We're going to see wonders. And so as our team comes, they're excited to come. They give up their Saturday, half a day from, for me, it's 7:30 to 1:30 at least. And they volunteer and they come because they're excited. God's going to do miracles today, and I get to see them. And so every time we get together, and if he doesn't do it through my hands, I get to see it through your hands and your hands, and I celebrate them all because we're excited, because this is God bringing breakthrough to his church. And so, you know, we're learning to align ourselves with truth, but one of the truths is that when we gather together in his name, impossibilities. Why, he said in Matthew 18, if two of you agree as touching anything on earth, it will be done by my Father who's in heaven. That's a preposterous promise. What if everything he said was true? So sometimes we just take those preposterous promises. He's calling you up. He says he's got healing for you. Bam. Get her, Lord. Yep. So these are simple things to agree on. We're not trying to, you know, change your eschatology or, you know, what about the rapture or can a Christian have a demon? I mean, can women speak in church? I mean, oh. Last night it was very funny. At the end, the pastor got up and he said, "We're gonna have a great big bonfire. We're gonna make a huge braai because we're gonna cook all those sacred cows that we just killed." Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I just feel like I feel like I want to do something. What I want to do, I feel like my hands are throbbing, and so I feel like what I'd like to do is have my team and myself. I just like to go and lay hands on everybody. I mean, if that's okay. And, sometimes people fall down. And so if you just want to sit in your chair, that's fine. you could fall out of your chair, but you don't have to. I mean, you don't have to fall down. It's not about whether you fall down or don't fall down, whether you laugh or don't laugh. It's that impartation is that, God's put stuff in us. And, we're carrying something, and we come from a place where a culture of miracles it's a well that's been opened up, and all of you have seen miracles, but we want to see those increase in your life. We want to see them increase in each of your churches. We want to see more miracles than you've ever seen before. And the amount of miracles we've seen is, it's not about us. It's not, oh, Bethel has miracles. It's that we've tapped into something that God has for the entire body of Christ. And so we want to share it with the whole world. That's why I travel around and leave my family for 2 weeks and go to strange places where I've never been before and sleep in a different bed every night and eat different food and do all kinds of stuff. It's because I want to see the whole world know that, yeah, these wells of revival have been opened. And what you've tasted here is going to increase. What we've tasted is going to increase as we, cross-pollinate each other. So I just want to go around and lay hands on people, if that's okay. So I'm going to ask my team just to stand up. And I might want to take this thing off. I don't know. Maybe I will. Yeah, Jesus. You, the guy. Whoa.
Maybe it doesn't work this way very well.
Shumbada baba. Thank you that you're here. Holy Spirit, you're in each one in this place. Jesus, you're here among us. And we want to go and just catalyze everything you're doing. Just bring things up to new levels and see healing we don't even know about breakout, accidental healings. Yep, we want to see giftings and callings. Just blown upon. Yep, we want to blow on the coals. Yep, thank you, Jesus. Yep. Take us,